Struggling to keep track of your story and world? Archivos is for you. More intuitive than a wiki, more extensible than Scrivener, Archivos builds your story bible into your personal, always-on tactical display. Graphical relationship charting, continuity tools, this thing has it all, with bonus options for fan engagement and real-time collaboration. I don't recommend tools I don't use, guys, and this one is good enough that even Open Source Me is using it for one of his projects instead of my trusty old wiki. Archivos. Story world management done right. www.archivos.digital. That's www.archivos.digital. Welcome to The Everyday Novelist. My name is J. Daniel Sawyer, author of nearly 30 books, more than 30 short stories, and numerous articles and scripts and essays, coming to you from up in the crow's nest with my spyglass on this daily voyage through the dicey waters of business, craft, learning, and art in the writing life.
Welcome to The Questions, episode 758.
Today we hear from Lisa, who asks,
as the holidays are upon us, I was thinking about how at this time of year, you often see all sorts of interesting relatives, acquaintances who might inspire you to create a character in their likeness. I was wondering, how might one go about incorporating real-life people into one's story and doing it in a tactful and professional manner, especially if you are painting them in a negative light or focusing on their flaws? Potential pitfalls? Advantageous advice?
I wouldn't know. I've never put anyone I know into any of my books, and certainly not in a negative light. One of my great friends used to wear a sweatshirt around the house that said, "Be careful or I'll put you in my novel." And she did. I've made it into a few of her novels. Several of our mutual friends have. And, of course, she's made it into a couple of mine. A artist steals from real life. As U2 says, every artist is a cannibal, every poet is a thief, all kill their inspiration and then sing about their grief. It's absolutely true. Pilfer from real life as promiscuously as you dare. Now, if you want to preserve your relationships, or indeed perhaps not get sued, it's a good idea to thinly disguise some of the less flattering borrowings. And less flattering doesn't always mean what you think it means. Some people will find a compliment very unflattering because they run into it in the wrong context. So it's a good idea to disguise the person whom you're stealing from to the level of plausible deniability, either by giving them a different physical description or by changing enough of their mannerisms. Particularly important thing about them, like, for example, in Gail Carriger's book, "I am a French mad scientist." And, of course, I'm still hobbit-shaped and have a red beard and an absolute obsession with iced tea. And anyone who knows me will see me there. And she was kind enough to let me find it on my own so that I could pillory her in private. But it was a wonderful bit. And it was revenge for me putting her in one of my books. But, you know, that's between friends. If you're doing enemies, or if you're, say, for example, putting family members into a book in a particularly unflattering light, well, you want to draw as little attention to that as possible. You know, put some of their characteristics that aren't obvious to the eye on display, while hiding the characteristics that are obvious to the eye in other places, or just not incorporating them. But, steal from everybody. And, of course, if it's a public figure, you don't need to worry about it from a legal standpoint too much. You do want to still do a little bit of plausible deniability, unless you're putting the person as a character in your book, like Charlie Kaufman did with Bob McKee in Adaptation. Otherwise, if it's a living public figure, and they're doing something other than their general public figuriness persona, at that point, you may want to disguise them a little bit, like I did with a certain lizard people-obsessed conspiracy theorist in the book Silent Victor. And if you are into or familiar with lizard people conspiracy theories and you read Silent Victor, you will know immediately who the character of Jonathan Sykes is a stand-in for. Kitty, you've read a bunch of my stuff. Any other pieces of advice?
One thing I have noticed that you do with characters that are based a little bit on you or a little bit on people that are close to you, is that you tend to take a person that you are really close to,
mm-hmm.
and you'll give them flaws and quirks that they don't have.
That's true.
And this is especially true with characters based on you.
That's true. And part of that is actually a creative thing rather than a liability or relationship protection thing. There's a value, there's something that writers do that's called making the familiar strange. By taking something that is familiar and making it strange, you open up access to it for people who are already familiar with it. So for me, whether it's based on me or based on someone I know, I will do something to the image of the character that I've got that changes it enough from the real-life person that it's more or less based on, so that I suddenly have to look at that character in a new way, and thus I can notice all the things about them that I found interesting when we first met or whatnot. Because anytime you get habituated to something, no matter how wonderful it is, you begin to fail to notice the things that were most obvious to you when you first encountered it. That's true not just with people, but with anything. It's called hedonic habituation. So by making the familiar strange, just this, and that's the same way that that a good dystopia works, is making the familiar strange. You take something that you're doing some kind of social commentary on and you change it just enough to make it completely accessible, to remove it from the headline culture wars of the day, so that everybody can access the idea space regardless of their opinions. That's what made Star Trek so successful and enduring, is that it was able continually to successfully do that in its first few incarnations. So making the familiar strange is also a very good way to shield yourself from liability and and from relationship poisoning.
And create more interesting characters.
Thank you very much for the question, and I'll see you tomorrow.
The Everyday Novelist is written by J. Daniel Sawyer and presented by J. Daniel Sawyer and Kitty Nakian, and is produced by Artistic Whispers Productions, Incorporated. The text is copyright 2019 J. Daniel Sawyer, and the production is copyright 2019 Artistic Whispers Productions, Incorporated. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license, and all other rights are reserved to their respective owners.
Join the conversation. Submit a question, leave a comment, or a creative death threat. Or find me at jdsawyeronminds.com or hit me at feedback@jdsawyer.net. We can't do it without you.